1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here. We got another conversion story today. We got Logan in the studio today.
Hey there.
I always say this before the conversion story episodes start, but it really is my favorite kind of episode to do. And I just appreciate you coming in here and having a conversation with us.
Of course. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day. We're going to have a good time. We got a lot of extras in the studio, and it's very small and unseasonably warm, so we might be sweating by the end. That's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all in the Lord's hands right now. Now, before we dive in, because you've been on the show before, but I think only once, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I think you're going to know it's two non-conversion-related fun facts.
Okay.
But before we do that, would you mind leading us in prayer?
All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for love and life and all the blessings of my life and all of our lives. I pray for all of those who don't believe in you, they may come to find faith in you, fall down, and worship you all the days of their life. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us through you and your Son, especially the gift of salvation. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now, if you've been on here before, you probably know that I've been asked respectfully not to grade prayers anymore, so I'm not going to grade your prayer.
Before
I grade it...
Where are you to grade it?
Solid, like 94. That was a really good
thing. All right. We're doing all right.
I did.
You're doing all right.
Killed it on that one.
Yeah. Hey, it's like a muscle, man. You gotta exercise the muscle.
Well, and I think it's especially important with conversion stories, too, because Protestants tend to be better, like, prayers than Catholics are. And you can tell when somebody's converted, I think, selfishly, right, by how good they are at just, like, on the spot praying. And you killed it.
Thank you.
So, good stuff. Yeah, I'm super pumped for today's episode, and my favorite part is that I have literally no idea. Like, even earlier when we were in the green room, which is Janice's living room, right up the road from the studio here,
right
up the gravel path, you started to sort of talk a little bit about your conversion story, and I rudely interrupted you and said, no,
don't do it.
Not yet. Yeah. We've got to talk about it all on here. Yeah. So I'm going in totally blind, super pumped, but rules are rules, and we have to start with fun facts. So you mind giving us two quick fun facts about yourself? You got them. They're there.
I think be a bit self-deprecating, I guess. I logged 1,000 hours in a survival-based game called DayZ. It's 1,000 hours of my life. I'll never get back.
Never get back.
And then another 1,000 hours in a game called Geometry Dash, which I'm sure you. You know the one where you jump over like spikes and stuff.
I don't. I'm kind of a technical guy.
You know what? I think I've slowly started to move toward that too.
I think it was the age, like where I was, because I'm probably 10 years older than you or something like that. And I just barely missed the whole video game craze, everything. It just like it wasn't really a thing. But is it DayZ? Is that a zombie game?
Yeah, it is.
Fantastic. No, that's right. I just read.
It's more about hunting down other people and. Doing bad stuff, but you know, yeah, it's got zombies in it.
I read Mel Brooks's, or not Mel Brooks, Max Brooks, Mel Brooks' son's World War Z a while back. I liked it. It's fun, mindless, whatever.
Right.
That still only counts as one, just because you named two people. You don't get a freebie. You got to tell us something else.
All right. I'd say maybe, I think the longest, longest I've ever stood still, I think, was about 3 hours.
How do you know that? That's a strange fact
ever. We can get a little bit into it later, but
okay.
But I'll tell you that story when we get there.
That sounds fantastic. Okay.
All right.
Man, I wish I wanted to estimate the longest I've ever stood still now in one spot. Yeah. I didn't one time on an airplane, like, try really hard to not watch the in-flight movie. I was flying international. I was like, I'm just going to sit here and just, like, be alone with my thoughts. I'm going to pray. I did that for a solid, like, 45 minutes.
And then
I said, I was actually proud of myself. I think I could probably do it longer now. But I made it through, I think, a couple full rosaries. And then I was like, okay, now I'm going to shut up and listen. My spiritual director keeps telling me to do that. I'm going to shut up and just be open, try to hear what God has to say. And then I ended up watching some Gerard Butler movie.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, but it was good. Yeah. All right, well, I don't want to spend too much more time bantering because I really do want to dig into the story. I'm super excited about it. I want to ask you the question that I always start off any conversion story episode with.
All right.
Which is, tell us about brand new baby Logan. Where was Logan born? What was Logan doing? Tell me about Logan's parents, all that good stuff.
All right. So I was born in Demorest, Georgia.
Nice.
Which is pretty much about 20 minutes from where I live right now.
Awesome.
And where I lived a lot closer to throughout my adult life.
Sure.
I was brought up and put into school when I was about 4 years old in a little preschool in Habersham called Candy Cane Preschool.
Hey! Your brothers and sisters?
I do. My brother Peyton was born 2 years after me, and then Nathan and Jason, they were born, I believe, 9 and 11 years after me.
Boys.
Yep.
I just always ask because, as we mentioned beforehand, I have one boy, and those are all the boys I can make. The other five are all girls, which is great. Loving them. But I was unloading just giant shelving, sort of metal shelving today. Me and my 13-year-old son. I thought, man, it sure would be great if the 11-year-old was a boy and I could make him come out here and help me. But she's a she, so big fan of that. Wouldn't trade her for anybody. I just would like to pick up an additional, strong back around the barn.
Gotcha.
All right, so you're born.
Some labor.
Born going to Candy Cane Preschool.
Yep, I was born and went straight to Candy Cane Preschool. And after a while there, went to the Banks County school system, which is pretty much on the opposite side of the same highway.
Right.
So, not very far off. And pretty much, that was my school life. I started to grow up a little bit at a time.
So, did you have any sort of religious background growing up?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What was that?
Christian, or a non-denominational.
Okay. Did you go to like a big mega church or anything?
No, it was a little quiet church off of 85.
Okay, cool.
It was Bethany Christian Church.
When I hear people say non-denominational, I always think about the sort of giant, like your Joel Osteen style, huge.
Oh,
your
no.
Bridges, your North Points, your
mega
church, whatever. But no, a little bitty, just Christian.
Yep. So Harmony Christian, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, Harmony Christian Church. Yeah.
So what did that, I don't know, what was your church life, I guess, as a little guy?
I just knew I wanted to be one of the people in the church. I got saved when I was, I believe, it was 7, and baptized not long after.
But a distinction. Those didn't both happen at the same time.
No. So, like, getting saved, you just go up to the front and, you say that you want to be saved and you want to be baptized. Pretty much you take on the faith.
Right.
And then after that, it comes your baptism.
Which is seen as symbolic, was that the idea?
No. I don't believe so. The way it was looked at, that was efficacious.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. That's neat. So how did you understand as a 7-year-old? Like, I've seen on YouTube, I've watched the soul winning tutorials from some of the big non-denominational churches or some of the fundamentalist Baptist churches and things like that. And they sort of walk through this whole process. And, it's, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin? Or do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he died for your sins? And the whole time I'm like, yes, I can get on board with all of this.
Right.
All of this is great.
Yeah.
I've never seen the big issue with me as a Catholic saying, like, yes, I agree with all those things. That being said, I don't agree that I'm guaranteed a spot in heaven. Was your church sort of saved thing?
I actually do not know. Okay. I don't think so.
Seven.
Yeah, I was about to say, and not long after we stopped going to church for a while. But I knew that I just felt right. It seemed right to me.
Yeah.
To get baptized or to be a Christian, honestly.
Yeah, and for the record, I'm sure most of our listeners know this, but baptism, regardless of the denomination, if you're baptized using the triune formula, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You're good.
Baptized, baby.
Yep,
that's
you're
great.
Good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so 7 years old, you get saved, you get baptized.
Right.
And you said you guys, your family sort of pulled away from the church for a little bit?
We kept going, I think, probably till I was about 10 or 11, and that's when we really started to stop attending church.
Just church in general, not that church, just church period?
Church period, yeah. We jumped between another church. It's in Homer. I don't quite remember the name of the church.
Yeah.
But we did the Awana program. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's in the Protestant churches when I was a kid. They'd give you like a workbook, and you would you'd work through different levels of progression.
Okay.
So it would have stuff like remember all the books of the Bible or
the song.
Yeah.
James.
Yep. Yep.
My 7-year-old is at that part of her class right now. That they sing it constantly. Now that's my fourth kid who's gone through that, and so.
So you're an expert.
I got it down.
Yeah, yeah. You're good. You'll never forget.
You want me to find some strange, some obscure prophet somewhere? I can show you Nehemiah. I can get right to him.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, so you're going to this other church, you're going through this program, all of this stuff, and then, at home, was it a Christian home, too? Were you guys praying and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, we prayed before every meal.
Awesome.
That was about the extent of it. We didn't really sit down and read the Bible, and we didn't have a lot of, I guess you'd call it paraphernalia around the house, like a cross.
Right.
Stuff like that. Or at least I don't remember. I might be doing my family a disservice here.
Do you remember if your church were they sort of iconoclastic? Like, were they, did you have statues? Did you have crosses up? Or was it one of those no symbolism whatsoever?
I think one of them that we attended might have had a cross, but I'm not certain.
My whole living room is designed to scare away people who don't like Catholics. As soon as they enter my house, we're way overdone with the statues and saints' pictures. I kind of like it.
Okay.
So 10 or 11, you started to pull back. What, do you have any idea why? I mean, I know you're still a kid, but.
No. I came to learn why later, but that's.
Yeah.
That's completely different.
I'm not trying to pry.
Devoid of me.
but what I'm saying is it wasn't a retreat from Christianity per se. It was just, we're going to pull out of these churches for a little while or what?
Yeah. We were trying to find another church home, I guess you could say. And then when I was about 15, my mom brought us to the Catholic Church.
Okay, well, we skipped over a lot.
Yeah.
10 to 15.
Like, I mean, there was no faith.
So there was none? Like, you just weren't practicing Christians at all for that 5-year period? Or
no. I'll get into this a bit more later, but I didn't truly understand. I didn't even read the New Testament until I was like 21, 22.
No way.
I didn't even finish the first book in the New Testament.
Okay, so yeah. I think we ought to get to that right. Here. Here's the why, right?
Why?
During that sort of middle school age period, middle school, early high school.
Right.
That's usually when you get some good, like, I'm an angsty atheist right now, and I believe in whatever. And can you just talk to that sort of that transitional adolescence period?
Don't start in Genesis. That's honestly the biggest piece of advice that I could give my younger self. Because
okay. Yeah, tell me that story. Why?
Well, because I'd always start in Genesis. And I get to about chapter 15, mm-hmm. and I look ahead, and there's 50 chapters in Genesis, and I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I'm not going to read this.
Interesting.
I was never much of a reader. Right. Actually, the Bible, I believe, is the first book that I finished as an adult.
No way.
Because I don't like reading. Right. I hate reading.
So how did that, I guess, less so your family in general, but you individually, right, that time period between 11 and 15... What did your sort of faith life look like?
Not praying at meals, and that was pretty much it.
It's just sort of performative praying at meals.
Focusing on school, playing video games.
Okay.
Talking with my friends.
You're in the Banks County Public School System throughout all of this?
Yep.
Cool. So did you have any, I mean, there you had to have some understanding of, I don't know, Jesus or what's going on in the church. Like What did that understanding look like? Did you say, well, I was saved and baptized when I was a kid, so I'm good? Or was it,
I don't
believe any of this crap anymore?
No, I had a, it was like a service level understanding, like, you know, Jesus came, he died, atonement for, you know, sins.
Right.
You have to believe in him to be saved. That sort of service level.
Did you always consider yourself, even if only culturally so, a Christian?
I didn't know what a Christian was. that's what I was trying to get at, is I didn't really understand more in a more deep manner of what Christianity really is.
Right.
Like for example, in middle school, high school, learned about the Salem witch trials. I'm like, oh, Christianity is so bad. But I had no idea that completely contradicts everything if you would just read the Bible and actually see what Christianity is about.
Okay. That's so cool. So around 15, did your mom just wake you up one morning and say, what's up, Logan? Guess what? We're Catholic now.
Straight up. That is, at least that's how I remember it. I remember I was playing some video games, and she said, come on, we're going to church. And it was Wednesday, and I said, we don't go to church.
Right.
And then she said, well, we do now. Come on. And we went to Catholic church.
So, do you have any idea sort of your mom's story, like what was happening with her during those?
I do, yeah.
Are you comfortable sharing any of that?
Sure.
Okay.
So, my mom, she's always really loved God, in my opinion, and from what I can see. And she's been very devoted to God and prayer life and right. whatnot. She works as a nurse, so she's a hospice nurse specifically, so she has to deal with a lot of people, you know, passing away. So that kind of creates two kinds of people, you know, really cynical or really hopeful.
Sure.
And my mom, you know, swings more towards the hopeful side. And she does that by getting a closer relationship with God,
yeah.
obviously.
Praise God for good moms.
Oh, yeah.
So many
yeah.
of these stories involve somebody's
moms
being
yeah.
like the Saint Monica yeah. in the background the whole yeah. time. I think the entire world is basically just kept from just falling into total debauchery by the thousands upon millions of moms behind the scenes with yeah. their hands together praying.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
So your mom always had this good relationship with God, but that's... That's still a far cry to go from sort of non-denominational Christianity to Catholicism.
Right. So my mother, when she was giving birth to my youngest brother, their last child, mm-hmm. She had a near-death experience. Actually, she was dead for a little while, from what I've been told. And she had like a vision, I guess. Okay. I don't know what you would call it. And she saw like God and Jesus and talked with him, and they asked her, or he asked her if she wanted to go home or if she wanted to stay. She said she needed to go back, and she got sent back. She woke up, and then she went to a Baptist preacher at the time, because I guess at the time we had a Baptist preacher. I don't sure. know if he was a Baptist church or not.
Right.
You run into that a lot. But he said since you didn't see something immediately, I believe it was like heaven, like the grand scape of heaven, you were going to go to hell.
Oh,
so that's what kind of caused the whole gap in her church attendance. Because
yeah.
that was, she believed genuinely he was wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love stories about visions. I mean, obviously like private revelation, right? We're not obliged to believe it as Catholics. It's just public revelation. We require.
Right.
But I think that the Lord works in all those ways. I think that is so cool. I think that is beautiful. Yeah. So then she started looking around for another
church home.
The
yeah.
church home? Okay.
Yeah. And she ended up in the Catholic Church. I don't know exactly how she ended up there, but she said she was searching for the truth, and that's where she found it.
And there's not a whole lot of Catholics up in Banks County, as far as I know.
Right? No.
Okay. All right, so you're playing video games one day. Mom says, all right, Logan, let's go.
Yup.
Can you tell me about that experience? Have you ever been in a Catholic church before?
Nope. Never in my life.
Was your mom talking about this to you? Did you have any
If she was, I was not paying attention to her.
So what were your thoughts on the Catholic Church? Did you have any? I mean, from history class or anything?
Yeah, actually history class. I didn't hear anything like super bad in history class though. It was just like, oh hey, the Catholics did this thing one time we call it the Crusades now, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, go team, by the way.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
You know all about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so not a whole lot of anything. You get up, and is she taking you to a church? Is she taking you to RCIA? What is
a church?
Okay,
so it was
mass.
It was the church that I actually regularly attend now.
Okay, awesome.
So
first experience.
Yep.
15 years old. What's that look like?
So it's a very small church, because you know we're in Georgia,
right.
Northeast Georgia,
right.
And it's in Toccoa. It's in the St. Mary's Catholic Church in Toccoa,
uh-huh.
and Father Vincent was there. Father Vincent Sullivan.
Okay,
and he was a He was an interesting man. I think he was a pretty cool guy. But he was very passionate about the Catholic faith. And he got my mom to read the entire catechism, I think in about 40, 50 days.
So she wasn't Catholic at this point. She was just like, I think
she was converting.
We're going to check this out. Yeah. Was she in RCIA or OCIA now?
I don't know if she ever went through it. Because the way that Father Vincent had structured it is he wanted my mom and my dad to both be on board, first of all.
Okay.
So they both had to agree to become Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom had to read the entire catechism. And that's all I remember of it. I don't know if they went to any classes or not.
That's a big book.
Yeah, it is. My mom did it, like I said, I think in 40, 50 days.
That's wild. And what are you thinking this whole time in the background, like while mom and dad are doing this crash course in Catholicism?
It's like, well, this is crazy, but I can't really say no. I'm 15.
Right?
Or 14. Yeah, 15.
So
yeah.
When did your whole family come into the church together?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When?
I think 2016, 2017, okay. Around there.
Did you do like a, was it a vigil mass or Pentecost? Do you remember?
When we were actually inducted into the church?
Yeah.
My mom and dad, I think, were first. Me and my mom and dad, I think, were first. And then I sponsored my brother.
Cool.
Younger brother of 2 years, and then my younger brother of 9, 11 years, they came on later,
and
obviously.
Were you confirmed when you came in, too? Was it?
Yeah.
First.
I think I was confirmed when my mom and dad were.
Okay. First reconciliation, then you had your first communion and confirmation all at once?
Dude. It's been so long.
That's all right.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I won't lie to you.
Yeah. No, that's cool. So your whole family comes in, but once again, I'm not in any way throwing any shade at you, Logan, but you're still 15 years old.
Yeah.
Right? So tell me about that. Tell me about, like, were you actually bought in? Were you thinking, I got a whole lot of questions, this is really weird? Like, what was your thought process through all this?
Well, like I said, still didn't get it.
Right, okay.
Right? So I didn't really understand it. I just knew mom and dad were going to do it. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Mom and dad are going to do it. I'm going to do it. Sure. I can fight it, or I can just be good. Go home later, you know.
So there wasn't a whole lot of buy-in from you at the time. There was just sort of this acceptance of, all right, we're doing it,
I guess. Yeah.
And how long did that continue on?
Until I was about 16, 17.
Okay.
Yeah. What changed? Well, it kept going on and on that I just didn't get it. And then I started to have pose questions against Christianity without doing any research. Great. To the Christian response,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like a true intellectual.
Yeah.
The intellectual 17-year-old that knows everything, right?
Definitely know more than 2,000 years.
Yeah. It's just traditions, man. It's just cope. I'm just trying to.
I've 1,000% been there. Yeah. I too was
an
angsty high schooler.
Yep. There you go. Edgy atheist.
Are you asking questions to anybody in particular, or are you just sitting around thinking you're smarter than the whole world by yourself?
So, no, I actually found the best idea, which was to get with my girlfriend at the time, who was also an atheist, and just be like, yeah, Christianity sucks. And then she says back, yeah, Christianity sucks.
High five.
Like, yeah. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to leave the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I did.
And were you still in high school at this point?
Yeah.
Okay. And, like, how old were you when you said, I'm done, actually, this is all lame?
Probably close to about 17, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 17.
Senior in high school, junior in high school?
Junior, yeah.
And once again, don't feel any pressure to overshare, but your general moral life during this time, what's that look like, generally?
Not.
Yeah. Not super
good. No.
Okay. So you decided, did you like have a, whatever the equivalence of like a, coming out as an atheist conversation with mom and dad?
Oh, yeah. That was rough.
Please
yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
You're comfortable.
So I was an altar server for a minute, a couple of years, actually, I think. And I was like, you know what? Today is my last day. I'm not altar serving anymore after today. And I'm not going to church. And then I remember my mom, I know she said this clearly because she was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this to disparage her. Sure. It's just what she said. And she said, she turned to my brother and she said, you know, Peyton, you know, you need to serve in his stead because someone like that doesn't need to be serving.
Yeah,
and I mean, said, and at the time, I looked really unfavorably on her for that.
Yeah.
But she was right.
But it is true.
She's absolutely right.
Yeah.
No.
Our Lord, right?
No.
At the altar, if you don't have a...
If you don't have any faith in him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Did Peyton step up and do it?
He did.
Good man. That's
awesome. Peyton's great.
That's great.
He stuck to the faith. All the way. Dude, never falter.
I go off all the time on this. I give talks sometimes in different places and whatever. And I usually start, somehow incorporates like my redemption story and all this stuff. And I always, after I say that, I say, I want to make it really, really clear that you know what would be way better than all that? Not having a redemption story.
Yeah.
You have just fought the good fight all along.
All the way.
Sure, stumbled, but not fell, and just kept on keeping on.
Yep.
Because I feel like so often redemption stories have... There's a little lie that's sold with them that some version of like, hey, you got to go out and make bad decisions. You got to go get lost in your sin before you can come back and really embrace the faith. And that's not true at all.
No.
The most holy people I know, the most awesome, solid men that I want to be like, right? The wonderful women that I want my daughters to become and all this, right?
Right.
they were just good. They just kept it. They just kept on keeping on. And I think the fruit of that is pretty great. And now, once again, I get it. Different paths and different... God has a plan. And the way that we arrive at truth, right, is different for different folks.
It is. Yep.
Man, what I wouldn't give to take back every, I don't know, debaucherous or immoral experience I ever had. And just to continue to fight the good fight all along.
Yeah.
So you're still living under Mom and Dad's roof, and have decided I'm not doing any of this.
Sure am.
What did Mom and Dad do? Do they make you go to church with them, or?
I can't remember that well. I know that sometimes they would, and sometimes they wouldn't. Okay. A lot of the time, I stayed home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
a lot of the time, I stayed
home. Mom, Dad, your three brothers all went.
Yes.
You hung out at the house and played.
VG games, you know. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Geometry, whatever.
Yeah, Geometry Dash.
You gotta get up to 4-digit hours on this.
Yeah, something. Yeah. I had to get to 1,000 hours, man.
Yeah, otherwise you won't have fun facts on.
Yeah, the yeah. It was all part of the plan.
And do you have a group of friends that's sort of supportive of your angsty atheism right now?
Not really. Like I said, just my at the time it was my girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you know can have quite an impact on a young man.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah.
So about how long do you think you were in sort of this stage of your life, sort of this mystic nothingness?
Well, the atheism, I'd say, lasted about, I'd say, two and a half years.
Okay.
So from about 17-ish to 19, okay. Around there, closer to 20.
Right. But as you're moving out of the house and everything, too.
Right, yeah.
Hold on with
us. Still going strong, man.
What'd you do after high school?
What'd I do after high school? I started college, but figured out I was going to be a father at 18 and a half. So,
oh, wow, okay.
So I was like, well, college ain't in the cards. I need to start working.
Right.
And so
you went full-time?
Work? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Doing what?
Sure did. At first, I was working as a machine operator.
Okay.
My dad helped me get my my first job.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Well, I did. It's so funny. Every time college comes up, I always tell people I spent 4 years in college to get a degree in history, and then I became a firefighter, where all I did was get made fun of for wasting all that money getting the degree in history. It ended up working out. I teach history now. But
nice.
Yeah, just doing that, working with the trades was really, really good for me there for a while.
I would have told them they'd be laughing when I got the promotion.
Yeah.
Just because I had a history degree. Had nothing to do with the job. Still got the promotion.
That's awesome. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go ahead and put a pin in this so we can come back right after the break. This is a pretty good spot to pause.
I'd say
right?
So. Yeah.
We got Logan, Band of Faith, rock and rolling, working hard.
Doing whatever, you know. There you go.
All right, so we will pick up right there in 1 second. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM, too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We're going to pick up right where we last left off, rocking and rolling with Logan, who, if you're just now joining us, Logan's family has converted to the Catholic faith. Logan then took the angsty teenage route of, actually, I'm an atheist and I don't believe in anything.
Yeah, let's go.
Logan, after high school, is working full-time machine operating, trying to provide for his beautiful baby.
Yeah.
And is that good? Is that a good stage setup?
Yeah, that's right pretty now? Much about where we left off, yeah.
All right. And I'm sorry, I would be remiss if I did not say, also, Logan's mom is in the background of all of this, praying her heart out, as all our good mamas are doing.
Yep.
Praise
yep.
be God.
That's true.
We all need St. Monica in our corner. All right, so I'll turn it over to you now. Then what happened, right? You're here, you're working, trying to take care of a baby, living life.
Right. So when I just started working, I figured out that that my girlfriend was pregnant, or, well, at the time it was fiance. I had proposed maybe a year prior.
Okay.
But I didn't tell my parents, you know, that's a great idea.
Sure, yeah. Why would they
Why would they want to know about that kind of thing, you know? So, yeah, you're going to find that I've made a lot of mistakes.
Sure.
But I'll come by, I'm honest. They were mistakes. So we figured out she was pregnant, and she, my brother had made a, I don't know if he was, he's being a goober, and he said that my parents, they were planning to kick me out because the night prior I'd went and stayed at her mom's house.
Okay.
Because my brothers, whenever we were working night shift, so they'd run up and down the hall, and you couldn't really sleep that well.
Okay.
So we were just like, you know, we'll just get one good night of sleep, mm-hmm. but we didn't tell anybody where we were going, so... That was no good. Yeah, so they were like, are you dead? Are you alive?
Sure.
Are you on the side of the road?
Right.
Driving home from a night shift? And they were upset. And I guess they were just, you know, venting and my brother might have overheard some stuff. And he said some stuff that was taken out of context.
Sure.
And then my fiance decided, well, let's get gone. And that's what she did. She moved in with her mom. And then she pretty much told me, like, you're going to need to cut your parents off.
Oh.
And I was like, this is not going to be good.
This is never good advice.
So cue, like, 3 months of torturous back and forth between me and my fiance and me and my parents.
Right.
Obviously, my parents don't want to be cut off.
Right.
Or cut out of my life and or my future child's life. And then my fiance, she thought she had justified reasons to keep our daughter out of my parents' life.
Oh.
So, and it kind of went down to an ultimatum where it was like, hey, it's either you move in with me or we're done.
Right.
And I was like, yikes. So I moved in with her.
Okay.
All right. And then I just kept working, pretty much. That was the gist of it. My daughter was born a while later.
Praise be to God.
Yes, very good. She's very healthy when she was born. Unfortunately, very few members of my family are able to see my daughter. My mother and my father never met my daughter.
Okay.
Still haven't to this day. And I will regret that as long as it goes, you know, unremedied.
So are we sort of at Logan's rock bottom right now? That's kind of what it sounds like.
No, we're not even at rock bottom.
Okay.
It's going to get way worse.
Okay.
It's going to get way worse.
Right.
So, started getting into trying to work on cars because I'm pretty much on my own now. I can't go see my dad because it'll cause a freaking meltdown and the relationship will be spoiled and we'll get to see my kid. So I started to learn how to fix my own car because I can't afford to take it to the mechanic. And, you know, I use the limited resources I do have or the family members that my fiance doesn't have a problem with and start learning how to work on my car. And eventually she comes up to me and she says, hey, you're working all night and then sleeping all day and working all night and sleeping all day. You're going to need to get another job. And I was like, what do you mean? And I actually really liked this job.
Right.
I was actually really good at it. I felt like it was really fulfilling just working hard and
all
that good stuff. So I went from my first job, which I really did like. I wouldn't have had a problem staying there till today.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot. And went to the chicken house.
Okay.
Or not the chicken house, but the cold storage. But it was pretty much all chicken.
Right.
So it was repackaging cold storage chicken. And it was a day job.
I used to drive a chicken truck. I'm familiar.
Yeah, I couldn't stand that for about 2 weeks.
Not great.
No. And then after a while, I had some money set aside, so I planned out all my expenses, and I think I was unemployed for about a month, 2 months, around there.
And you're still just sort of this nihilistic atheist.
Oh, yeah. Like, life is lifing, man.
Yeah, sounds like it, for sure.
Life is lifing, and we're no end in sight. You know what I'm saying? So then I go to a place called SK, which is where I work now.
Okay.
And thank God they hired me. I was completely unqualified for the job they hired me for.
Sure.
But they were just hiring people with a pulse. So
great.
Worked out, you know. And with 4 months of work experience, I was working with a bunch of people that had been in that field for like 20 years.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it was something like that, you know.
Big learning curve.
Oh, yeah. Startup. And we were working out of trailers at first, and then we actually started getting buildings and started actually working. But my daughter was born while I was working there.
Okay.
So all this happened with no daughter running around.
Right.
And then my daughter was born while I was working there.
Things change a little bit when that happens.
Yes. Yes, they do. So I continue to work. You know, I pick up. I'm working in this one department, and I just keep working. And about 2 years in, they open up a second shift. So I go to the second shift because you get more money. And I got a second job because, you know, I had mama staying at home.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
And I was working two jobs. There would be 3 days I'd work 14 hours a day, and then every other day I worked 8 hours a day.
Okay.
And I worked 6 hours on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I managed to get us into an apartment.
Okay.
Actually, a pretty nice apartment.
Yeah.
And you'll see here, it's just a lot of these really, really big coincidences that just start to show up in my life. And one of them was the fact that a second shift opened up, and that shop had always been a Havoline, and they've always had, you know, the right amount of people. They didn't need any people, but it got bought by Valvoline Corporation,
okay.
And they were hiring pretty much anybody. Again,
right.
You know, like, yeah. I was completely unqualified, but I had done some work on my own, so they were willing to train me, and they gave me pretty much whatever schedule I wanted.
Great. Okay.
So I was able to actually do that and get that job. Which I tried to do again afterwards and realized that was a lightning in a bottle type of situation. And so I worked two jobs, and I did this until my daughter was about 10 months old. I didn't work two jobs for 10 months. I worked two jobs for about 3 months.
Okay.
But I did that until my daughter was about 10 months old, and we got into our first apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then started building furniture. I had to do all this stuff.
Right.
I've never moved out, like 100% moved out before. So,
sure.
You know, you got to buy the table, you got to get the couch,
yeah.
You got to get the television,
right.
You got to build the dressers, everything.
Yeah.
Or, you know, mainstays, you know, Walmart, thrift store,
yeah.
All that good stuff.
Side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there.
I'm still doing it, roughing it.
So you're in this situation, you're working all the time, you're taking care of your daughter, you're trying to maintain this life, get this house,
yep.
This apartment, this fiance,
yep.
And everything. And there's still no, like, when do you first start to get an inkling that maybe this whole Catholic thing made sense?
We're getting close.
Okay.
That's going to require a little bit more of a story.
Let's do it.
So we get moved in, and we actually had some folks who were helping us move in, and my fiance was treating them horribly. I do very much regret that. But, you know, they were just trying to help us,
mm-hmm.
And she was not having it. I won't go in further detail about that because I'm not trying to talk bad about anybody. But the reason that comes to it is because that whole situation when I was moving out showed me, like, this relationship is not that strong. It's not as strong as I thought it was. And then it was confirmed later whenever I had moved in, you know, we got moved into the apartment. I was still working two jobs,
mm-hmm.
And she told me, hey, you're going to need to quit this second job. And I was like, why? You know, we're bringing in more money. We're actually able to save money. Because before we couldn't save money.
Right.
And, you know, we're doing good. And if I keep doing this for a couple of years, we'll actually have a lot of money,
right.
You know, just sitting around. And she was like, because we're going to have to split up. And I was like, well, shoot.
Oh, man. Okay.
And I was like, okay, well, second job's gone. Bye-bye. And it took off. Kept working. Focused on job number one, transferred to a different department, worked my way up, got promoted.
Are you guys living separately now?
No. Oh, yeah. Now we are, yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean now in the story.
Oh, no.
Okay. So you guys split up.
I quit the job to keep the peace, so we wouldn't split up.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool.
Yeah. If I don't quit the job, we'll split up.
Right. Got you. Okay.
Yeah. So got promoted, yada, yada, yada. Then I've got, like, this big ego. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm macho man. I'd provide for my family, and I do this, and I do that, and
right.
I can fix anything I need to fix, and I help people, and
yes,
I'm this good, good dude.
Uh-huh.
And there was this lady in our apartment complex that had a problem with her truck, and I like to work on stuff. It wasn't about money. It's about helping folks, because I've been there where you can't afford it.
Sure.
And this is like somebody's grandma,
mm-hmm.
like, and she's renting an apartment. She doesn't have a house. She's working as a waitress, You know, I'm figuring stuff, more stuff I figure out, I'm like, this is rough.
Right.
And we work on our truck three separate times because it was idling really rough. It was running really poorly. It was an old F-150. Mm-hmm. And we got it to behave for a little while, and then started acting up again. And then we decided to mess with the PCV, and we actually figured out you just had to cap it off. The PCV was actually making it run worse. So we capped it off, and then had a check engine light come on. And we pulled the spark plug out, and there's a bunch of oil on the spark plug. And we're like, well, now we need to do valve cover gaskets.
Right.
And on a V8, on that old 5.2.
Sure.
2 liter. Or 5.4 two valve. There we go. And that took 12 hours.
Okay.
Because there's so many bolts running along the valve cover that go all the way back to the firewall. And during all this, I'm like, dang, this sucks. But when I got done with it, oh yeah, we did get done with it, and then the truck didn't run right.
Okay.
And to the point where it couldn't drive.
Right, okay.
And I had three cars at the time, and I told her, you know what, just take one of my cars. I tried to help you, and I made it way worse. So take one of my cars, and you can drive it around, and you're not going to get fired. Because that's what her main concern was, she's going to get fired. And so she did that, and we got her truck running right. Like I said, we capped off the PCV valve, and it ran good. It ran good for a long time, they said. And I told her, you need to sell it. As soon as we got it running right, I said, you need to sell it because I don't know how much longer it's going to act right. Because when we got down in the valve cover, the tension on one of the cams with the timing chain was really loose.
I want to know how this truck is
operating. Right. It's important.
It.
Okay, it's important. Right. So after all of this, right, I sat down and really thought about it. And there's two big things that really pushed me towards belief in God. And the first one was this lady in the truck.
Right.
Said, if I hadn't have gotten the skills or the interest to learn these things, because nobody taught me this stuff. I learned through making mistakes and just figuring it out. And maybe I got some pointers from folks, but most of it was just trial and error for hours and hours on end.
Me and YouTube.
And a whole summer worth of projects. Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of automotive work. And said, if I hadn't learned this stuff and gotten this knowledge and bought these tools and done all this stuff, then this woman, somebody's grandma, be on the street.
Right.
Homeless. 60-something years old. That's right. Crazy.
Yeah, praise be to God.
Yeah. And I said, am I just going to sit here and say it was all a coincidence?
Nice, okay.
It was all a coincidence. And then I started looking back at Valvoline. You know, just happened to get bought up and everybody quit. You know, they all got paid their severance and then they started hiring random people. And then I just happened to be one of the people they hired. And then, you know, you go a little bit further and it's like there is no such thing as a coincidence.
Sure.
And that was a bit of an uncomfortable reality because I was like, there is a God. Mm. There is a God.
Right.
And I wasn't fully convinced. But this is like a... For me to engage with something, I have to first believe like a premise. Mm-hmm. So the other premise was, well, maybe this is just my perspective. But then I started thinking about a homeless man. I was drove by a homeless man, you know, not long after all this happened. And I saw him and I said, intent is the heart of everything we do. But the material outcome is the same.
Okay.
So I said the intent, whether I believe, oh, hey, I'm going to give this guy money because it makes me feel good, or I'm going to give this guy money because it's the right thing to do and he's homeless and I feel for him. The material outcome is the exact same.
Sure.
But the intent are two totally different intents. And I said, I don't want to live in a world where the material outcome is all that truly matters.
Okay, yeah.
And those were the two biggest convincing things.
Awesome.
That brought me to belief in God.
Roughly at the same time?
Close okay. Together, yeah.
And so what do you do? All of a sudden you're like, all right, maybe there's something to this God thing.
Well, I decided I wanted to join the U.S. Army.
Oh, there you go. Always a great solution to all your problems.
Yeah. I was actually having a lot of problems at home, And this was, I was like, I can get out of here. I can escape, right? I can escape my problem. Never run from your problems. It doesn't work.
Right.
Okay, so I got into the U.S. Army. No problem. Packed up my apartment, packed up everything, left. I didn't quit my job. I was smart enough to say I'm going on military leave.
Right.
And I left. And then, you know, put mom at home with her mom. Mm-hmm. And then took off. And during this time, my aunt, she's a Christian, and she kept talking to me. She would talk to me every day about God.
Yeah.
And my fiance attributes my belief in God to her, but I kept trying to tell her it was not my aunt blowing me up with text messages about how Jesus is going to change your life. It was
that helps,
it was genuine belief. Like, I had to be convinced. And I was convinced in my own life, my own experiences.
And were you just convinced of the existence of a God at this point, or are you saying?
I believe there is a God, right?
Okay.
I believe there is a God. And the way that I know him is a Christian God,
right.
Obviously. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I believe in this stuff. I believe there is a God. But when I got into the Army is when I really was like, oh, wow, this stuff's real.
Okay,
this stuff is real.
Yeah, what was it about?
So I went to the first week I got there. We're going through it, and this actually is a story about, you know, standing still for the longest part of time. So they sent me in there, and they were going through the financial process, you know, telling everybody our financial information, and they had me stand there with a hand sanitizer, and I had to stand completely still and give people hand sanitizer for about 3 hours. No.
Okay.
No, this is in 2023,
clean
man.
Okay.
Yeah, we're
right.
Making sure everybody was cleaned up. You know, we're good. And that's how I can tell you that's the longest I've ever stood still, because I just started to have a sweat go down the back of my legs. I mean, I've never had that happen before. It went down to my knees, man.
Right.
And it was about the same temperature as it is in here in that room. You're just standing completely still and looking straight. I mean, you just...
Those of you who are listening might not be able to see the sweat beads are starting.
Yeah.
So... Where does the Catholic Church come into play, though?
We're getting there.
I don't mean to rush you.
No. I'm trying to pick up. I am. So that Sunday, we went to the chaplain. So there's a little chapel, and they've got the chaplain. And, you know, he meets the needs of every service member, spiritual needs. And I could tell he's definitely Christian. He's a Christian faith, but his job requires him to cater to all faiths.
Sure.
And, man, he was just different.
Okay.
I don't know if it was because it was the first time I actually listened to somebody preach openly and try to actually take something away from it, but from when I was a kid, this guy was just different.
Okay.
And I mean, I really got it. When he was talking about God, and how he's never going to leave you or forsake you. Man, by that point in my life, I've been through so much crap and people dipping out on me or leaving me or forsaking me in some way or another. And I was like, man... That sure would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that will never leave you or forsake you. And Dagum had a whole bunch of us little soldier wannabe boys crying. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, I'm sure a lot of them actually went and been soldiers, but, you know, some of them didn't probably join me and didn't become one, unfortunately.
Sure.
But that's just the way it was planned out. So, yeah, I got out of there, and I was like, wow. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. Like, I want to be a legit Christian. I want to live by the Bible. But I was like, I've never read the Bible. And all they had was the New Testament. So I couldn't even try to read the Old Testament.
So you didn't have to worry about getting through
Genesis? I didn't have to worry about getting through Genesis
That's
again.
Great.
So I just started reading, and I read Matthew.
Okay.
It's the first book I read. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I read Mark and Luke and then John and read all the way, I think, up to Colossians before I actually had to leave the army. But the point of it was that I think that I was brought there just for that. That was the whole reason I went.
Right.
But when I got back out of the Army, that's when I realized it was like, this is your high, and then here's your Jesus get baptized and go into the desert moment right here.
Right.
So I went through some really financially dire straits, and I was broke, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think last year, the least I ever made in 1 month in February was $240 is what I made in the
That's
month
broke.
Of February of last month of last year. And, I mean, we were in straits and we were trying to, you know, make it, cause I had to go back with her parents. And I wanted to go back to my job at SK, and you know, where I built up this hot head, and I'm like, hey, they need me, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, we don't want you.
Right.
I was like, wait, don't you have to give me my job back? And I was like, you know what? This will give me an opportunity to follow my dream and become a mechanic.
Okay.
And, you know, I realized that fulfillment does not come from a job. And that's when I realized that I'm being selfish to neglect my family in order to do what I want to do.
Sure.
At the end of the day, a job is not where you get your fulfillment.
Right. Not primarily. Shouldn't be. Yeah.
It can't be. And, you know, and I was driving in the car. I put it this way a lot of the time when people ask me about it. You know, you drive to work with gas. You don't have money to pay for, to buy things that you can't afford. I had it phrased up, but I can't remember it quite well. You get the point, though.
100%.
Yeah, you have no money all the time.
Right. 100%
of the time, you got no money. And then I got my job back at SK. I went to talk to HR, and I was like, hey, give me my job back. And they're like, you got to give him his job back. He went on military leave.
Right.
So, thankfully, I contacted them within the time frame to get my job back.
Yeah.
And I got my job back, and then got my apartment back because the landlord liked me. Because, like, my credit, I wrecked my car, and I was like, I'm not paying for a car I wrecked, so credit score got wrecked.
Sure.
And then kept on going, and then my landlord was like, yeah, you were always a good guy. I'll let you rent an apartment.
Oh,
I was like, heck yeah, no credit check. So I got in, and I was like, wow. We went from dead broke in February to daggum solid in March. I was like, well, and that's when I started having talks with my fiance. Or she was my wife at that time. We got married before I joined the Army. Legally married. We didn't go to a church or anything. We signed a sheet of paper. And this was rough. This is a rougher part of my life where it's like, I felt like I was doing right, because whenever I was super broke, I felt like if I would have just forsaken God, everything would have been fine. Mm-hmm. I had this like overwhelming feeling that if I would just forsake God, everything go back the way it wanted to be. But the problem was I didn't want everything to go back the way it was, because there was always something lacking.
Sure.
And I held out, and it paid off.
Right.
And I'm very glad I did. But my wife at the time, we started getting into some pretty ferocious debates about theology.
Sure.
Actually, and she'd bring up passages like 1 Samuel 15, talk about, well, God commanded genocide and even babies. And I'm like, that's rough. And, you know, at this point, I haven't read the Old Testament.
Sure.
I don't know what to say to any of this.
Right.
And I'm just like, I'm just going to hold out. I have faith. I had faith then, and I'm have faith now. I'm going to hold out. And unfortunately, me and my wife split up in November of last year, actually. I think in a few days, I believe it's 23rd day, 5 days from now will be a year since I've seen my wife and my daughter.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's all right. We split up over a lot of disagreements, but Christianity was one of the biggest ones. Over everything that was irreconcilable, if I wasn't a Christian, she wouldn't always come second to some God, her words, she probably would have considered giving me another chance. So pretty much, I think the devil was really trying to get me to just give up.
Talk about suffering and martyrdom for the faith.
Yeah.
You don't have to say it, I will. That's a good deal.
I don't see it that way, but I appreciate it. So, yes, then I go to Kentucky after my ex-wife leaves for work, and then I come back, and, you know, I'm like, it's Sunday. I should go to church. I can go to church now. I don't have anybody telling me. We don't have gas money for church. I don't have anybody hiding my Bibles from me or leaving Bibles outside, and they get molded.
Sure.
You know, I don't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore. So I go to church. And I'm like, well, where should I go to church? I got this inclination, go where your mom and dad go.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And I came back to the Catholic Church. And like my dad was telling you earlier, I talked to this guy named Adam. I started bombing him with questions that my wife started, you know, throwing at me like, hey, how can you believe this? Yada, yada, yada. And he had answers.
That's crazy.
Then I said, I want to get answers. And then I read the whole Bible in about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And, then I started studying more specific topics, and here we are. I'm a usher at church and a catechist, and I teach children.
Is Father Vincent still out there?
No, unfortunately, Father Vincent wasn't there when I came back. I would have loved for him to be there.
Yeah.
Our priest now is Father Henry.
Okay. I got a kid named Henry. I got the name Henry. My granddad's got the name Henry. I like Henrys. No, that's fantastic. Praise be to God. Is there is there anything that you would go back and say to yourself 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Some advice?
I'd say hang in there.
I like that. No, and just wins. Just already won.
Well, it's just even if you don't know where the road goes, you'll find out where the end leads to.
All right, Logan, that was really great. No, I appreciate your time. I appreciate how candid you are. And thanks for coming on. We'll be praying for you. We'll be praying for that beautiful baby you got, man.
Yep.
Jesus wins. It's all worth it, man. Yep. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of West Atlanta's Catholic.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.